Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's a beautiful morning!
Good morning! Good morning! Ooh. Wake up, mister!
My son and I will be back today!
It's such a good vibration! Such a temptation! It's such a
What's up, Dan? Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that matters, and we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Good morning, everyone. Coming up in about 20 minutes from now, our friend Dan Shaughnessy from the Boston Globe on how the Red Sox are possibly selling to their fan base that the trade of Mookie Betts is not a white flag. Plus, they are steeling themselves for the report from Rob Manfred and the Major League Baseball Commissioner's Office on their cheating scandal. Plus, the Celtics are dangerous in the East, and the Patriots await Tom Brady's decision. All of that with Dan Shaughnessy coming up here on the show in about 20 minutes from now. In 40 minutes, we'll have advanced analytics surrounding our poll question of the day, which is, now that Mraz has put in the work to make a best of podcast on a daily basis, will you be listening? The first one was out yesterday, a condensed version, a 1 hour plus version of the DA show available now in podcast form. Will you listen? You can vote in the web poll on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Okay, then I guess you're SOL. One note about Jay Wright and the Knicks. I mean, it's hysterical that they were targeting Jay Wright, and I'm sure he said no before the words were out of the Knicks' mouth. He's got a good situation, and he does not need to sully his reputation by going to the most dysfunctional franchise in the NBA. But now it sounds like Tom Thibodeau wants the job and that the Knicks want him. James Dolan is one of the most sensitive, paranoid bullies in sports. He hates when people criticize him. He wants all of the credit if it works. And if you challenge him, he immediately uses his minions to silence you. I have a tough time believing that a guy like Tom Thibodeau, who is looking for a bar fight, is going to play nice in that organization, and thus I just don't think it works. And Tom Thibodeau has won a lot of places, but he has a style that grinds on everybody, which is why he doesn't stay at a place very long. And this just does not feel to me to be the right combination. And I think it's more of the same where the Knicks think they can wave a wand and it's Leon Rose. Oh, he's an agent. He's just like Rob Pelinka. He's just like Bob Myers. He'll get us players. Well, remember that the last head coach was supposed to do that. Tone Loke was supposed to get them all of the free agents because he had such a good relationship with LeBron and everybody else. And now you're doing the same exact thing. Well, we'll get players because they'll want to play for this guy. Well, I think players want to play for an organization they can trust. And until you install people that you can trust, players have better options. And so are you going to try to get players through player relationships, player agent relationships, and then put an attack dog like Tom Thibodeau on them? I mean, what the Knicks really should do is allow somebody with a vision and a focus and basketball acumen to develop a structure and a draft plan, a 5 to 10 year plan, and then let a younger coach come in, or at least a coach that has significant credibility around the NBA, and allow those guys to execute a vision minimum 5 years. And it could be difficult, but you've got to install the right people. And this has happened with the Cleveland Browns organization over and over and over again. Just hiring and firing guys every 2 years doesn't ever help anything. Okay, you're pulling the Band-Aid off, you're moving on, but you can't figure out a solution to decades of losing in 2 years. It starts with hiring the right people and allowing those people to execute a vision. They need time. And what's going to end up happening here is that Tom Thibodeau is going to end up walking in and yelling a bunch and screaming a bunch. And Leon Rose will not be able to land a big marquee free agent yet because they're still going to be a nightmare. And Thibodeau is going to be frustrated and fans will expect more. And James Dolan will once again bring the hatchet down because it will not work within 3 years. And it's just going to be another vicious cycle. From an Astros standpoint, Nick Markakis yesterday of the Atlanta Braves had some choice words for Houston.
I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. You know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. You know, I know we're all competitive and we're out there competing, but there's right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it.
He says that the Astros need a beating. Need a beating! You know, I've got visions of Mraz Halloween night 2001 laying on the ground as a bunch of kids from the block swing flower-filled gym socks at him. Pounding on. Boom. Boom. Take that. Boom. Take that. Boom. I mean, we've joked about that, but that was scarring for you, Mraz.
Ruined Halloweens for all of my adolescence.
And you never found out why they pounded you with gym socks full of flour.
It was just because they could.
And they did that to a lot of kids.
I wasn't the only one, and that should be made clear. No. The older kids, they brought out those flower socks, and that became Halloween. It was not about the Twix or the Baby Ruth bars anymore. It was about survival. And I was not about to survive.
So let me ask you, knowing how scarring that was, I don't know how it felt. Did it leave welts?
Definitely some, I wouldn't call them welts, but red marks for sure.
If the Astros lined up in just T-shirts and shorts, nothing else, and players from the Yankees and the Dodgers were allowed to pound them with flower socks, would you say that that is an appropriate level of punishment?
No, it's not fair. I would not wish that on my worst enemy.
Even the Astros.
I think what has to happen to the Astros is whatever happens has to be taken between the white lines, as they say. And if the beatings mean 100-mile-an-hour fastballs in the back between the shoulder blades, I'm all for that. That might hurt worse than a flower sock.
I would say so.
But at least that's within the elements of the game. I don't think you can get A-Rod and Matt Vasgersian sitting there one Sunday night and say, forget the Cubs and Cardinals. Let's fly the Yankees and Dodgers in right here to Houston. Let's line them up. Let's fill up the big Spalding socks with a bunch of flour and let's go to town on these guys. I don't think you could do that. It's not fair. It's not right. Do it between the lines.
So do we believe now the over-under, you take the over on 83.5.
Over.
Hit by pitches. That's what Vegas has set for the Astros. 83.5.
And now, I believe the record in 1 year is 120.
Correct. Set by the 08 Indians, which is weird because nobody hated the 08 Indians. So I don't know why they took so many hit-by-pitches.
Could have been strategic. Who knows? Lean into a couple, get on base.
Well, definitely. I think that that was probably a little Moneyball-esque, you know, drawing walks and getting hit by pitches, getting on base. In that era, the aughts, if you will, was big with Moneyball. So will they go over 83.5? Probably, although, I mean, the fact is Rob Manfred has said, don't do this. Don't throw at them. We will discipline you. So is Rob Manfred going to execute this, knowing that everybody around the league absolutely hates the guts of the Astros and wants a pound of flesh? Is the first time an Astro get plunked, is he going to suspend a guy 2 or 3 games?
You can't. And also, he's going to open up a can of worms here.
Because so he's
going to
look toothless then.
I think he's going to look toothless, but you got to realize something. Like, that over-under set at 83.5. Without the Astros even doing something, they're going to run into their fair share of plunkings because that's baseball, right? Like,
That's baseball, Susan.
Balls get away, you know, go high and inside. I mean, that stuff happens throughout the course of 162 games anyway. Now, you throw in the hatred aspect of it where maybe if you're losing the Astros and you've had it with them anyway, you go tick them off late. But the idea that now you're going to legislate what you definitively know is a payback for them cheating and what is just natural, this happens in a game because it happens every year in baseball, to me, that is too muddy a water for Rob Manfred to navigate here. I think he's saying it.
What's intentional, what's
right, not? I think Rob Manfred is saying that now and sending out a memo because he doesn't want his 162-game slate to be a bloodbath every time the Astros play, but also he has to have it on record and show at least the Astros, look, I do care, I am trying to protect you, but when push comes to shove, if I'm one of these teams, I'm calling the bluff and I'm going to get my pound of flesh.
And I think the only way Rob Manfred can suspend guys for hitting Astros players is if they call their shots before the game. Or call their shots before the series. Oh, the Astros are coming to town, or we're going to Houston. Yeah, I'm going after those guys. They better watch out. We're throwing inside. Because then he has intent. But if you just never say that, you're exactly right. What's Rob Manfred going to do if somebody throws inside at Jose Altuve and never said they were going to throw inside? Every pitcher can simply say, hey, you know what? Got away from me.
Exactly. That's why this has always been a thing all these years later. You can't legislate the throwing at batters because it's just a guy with a ball, guy in the box. You can't prove it. You cannot prove it no matter how much you think it might be intentional.
Now, if you throw at his head, that's right. Dangerous enough.
Right. You don't want to kill Altuve or Correa. Yes.
So if they throw and they bean a guy in the head, then I could see Manfred suspending a guy, and you could just simply say that's the safety of the game. And if your team, like the Yankees, let's just say, plunks Jose Altuve 5 times in a 3-game series.
Okay, maybe CC comes out of retirement, you know, and then he appeals suspension and one by one.
Then you can do it. But you're right. Rob Manfred simply cannot suspend guys willy-nilly just for plunking hitters of the Astros.
That's baseball.
Can we play Rob Manfred apologizing for the calling the championship trophy a piece of metal?
I made one mistake.
Oh, boy.
At least during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way.
Ooh. In trying to apologize for a verbal slip, he gets defensive by saying, I made one mistake, and gives us the old Mraz, it was a long day.
I mean, that is out of my book.
Totally. That is your playbook. That is page one of your excuse-making playbook.
Let's get Manfred for 60 minutes on the PGP.
Why can't this guy figure this out? All you have to say is, you know what? It's been a trying couple of days. I really apologize for disrespecting a trophy that we all hold in very high regard. That's my mistake. That's all you have to say. I made one mistake in a long day. You know, that's like when you're fighting with your wife. Oh,
Okay, so I said your butt looked big in those jeans. I've been working 12-hour days. I said one thing. All right, I said that the chicken was kind of burned. I said one thing. How can this guy not get it?
Stayed up till midnight getting 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
How can it happen? How could it happen? Rob Manfred, it's like he's getting media training on the fly. It's like he's saying something, and then everybody's going, hey, you shouldn't say that, or you should do this a different way, or you should probably handle this a different way. And then he's going to go back and go, oh, okay, I'll do that tomorrow. Hey, you screwed up again, so why don't you do it this way? Try this. Oh, okay, yeah, I got that. Well, you screwed it up again. He's the freaking commissioner of baseball. How could you be so bad at this? How could you? It is so easy to just say, it's been an emotional couple of days. I never intended to disrespect the trophy. I understand how hard our players work for it. That is my mistake. I absolutely should be better. Instead, I made one mistake after a long day, and everybody jumps down my throat. It was a rhetorical question. What, do you guys not know the definition of rhetorical? What, are you a bunch of idiots around here? What, do I got to spell out everything for you? R-H-E-T-O-R-I-C-A-L. Adjective relating to a concern with the art of rhetoric. Oh, I made one mistake. Laddy frickin' nah. Oh. What a bozo. Dan Shaughnessy on what the Red Sox report will find next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
Mraz is kind of sheepishly looking around after licking the bottom of a peanut butter bag.
Peanut butter in there was supposed to be used for an apple, so spread an apple, and then I had a nut bag left I was licking.
Mark that. Mraz licking the perfect nut bag there.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. You can always watch us at watchda.com, available anywhere on any device. Watchda.com to check out the show as a TV show. Joining us here on the show, sports columnist, legendary sports columnist for the Boston Globe, joins us regularly here on the DA Show, our friend Dan Shaughnessy. Dan, good morning.
Hey, DA, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks, as always, for joining us. What do you expect, or what does the Boston at large expect from the report that Rob Manfred's going to give on the Red Sox cheating?
Well, I don't think the Sox in 18 were doing anything to the level of what we've seen in Houston in 17 and beyond. But I don't think they were doing nothing. And I think early on, after the probe was announced, there was kind of a drumbeat around Boston that this wasn't going to be anything. You know, J.D. Martinez came out and said, we were doing nothing, bring it on. Red Sox ownership was like, you know, we ask that everyone reserve judgment. We wish we could talk about it now, but we can't. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, bring it on, Rafael Devers, Jackie Bradley. But I've sensed that tone's changed a little bit. I've been in camp for a week down here, and, you know, Moreland was a little more reserved. Chris Sale was a little more reserved. And the owners the other day were a little more reserved when they were, you know, brought in front of the firing squad to talk about the Betts deal. But I think that it'd be very hard for the commissioner to broom this thing all together, which I think was the initial goal. And I think, DA, that the second team to get investigated after the Astros is unlikely to show nothing. I just think every team was doing something at that point. You got the Sox, who got caught with the Apple Watches in 18. They bring in Alex Cora. Excuse me, they got caught with the Apple Watches in 17. They bring in Alex Cora from Houston to be their manager in 18. It's just beyond belief that there was nothing going on. And I think they're kind of unlucky in that sense, that the next team that gets investigated will have to get some punishments, and I think they will.
So if you think that everybody in baseball was doing something like this,
something.
Why, Why do you think that there's such vitriol from players toward the Astros?
Well, I think the trash can thing, you know, the culture there, you know, the whole the Lutnow thing, the Crane thing, the Taubman thing, you know, the code breaker stuff that's come out, and then the subsequent lying. It looks, I mean, I haven't seen every word, but it looks like Correa tried to tell us that there was nothing going on in the postseason in 17, and the commissioner last night said there was. I don't know. It's just, you know, they're the Astros are, no one feels sorry for them, but almost anything they say, they're going to get crushed for, and that is happening. But I've never seen this kind of player-on-player crime, you know, throughout the game where guys are just openly, you know, I mean, Marquez said they should get a beat down.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Sale wasn't very subtle, you know, in his discussion of what I would call frontier justice the other day, how the game polices itself, and you're going to see a lot of stuff happen. I mean, that doesn't bode well if you're Alex Bregman.
Yeah, no doubt. Dan Shaughnessy joins us from the Boston Globe. How did it go over as the Red Sox owners tried to put a brave face on trading Mookie Betts?
It didn't make any fans feel better in my minor polling. I mean, just people are really angry. And, you know, if you're a fan who just takes everything the organization says, then you buy into, oh, they couldn't sign him anyway. They had to get something while they could. But they've not even done that. They've positioned this as a trade about baseball, a trade about value. And that's a tough sell. They, you know, what they won't say is, we are Tampa Bay, you know, and that's what they've become, and that's what they're, that's the goal here, you know, and I still think they'll throw a lot of money at it, more money than Tampa Bay, but right now it's about, you know, you can't keep Brock Holt because you can't pay $3 million for that job. You can't pay Sammy Leone $2 million for that job, you know. They're not going to, and, you know, you take Ed Rodriguez to salary arbitration after he wins 19 and you beat him out of $500,000. You know, that's the new Red Sox, you know, 1,000 faceless guys in the clubhouse, and it's sort of morphing over to that, just trying to make deals and do it for less. And, you know, they got under the luxury tax, but they're still insisting that it wasn't a salary dump and that it's not about the CBT, and that insults the intelligence of their fans.
Well, why, if we dig a little deeper, are they doing this? They are willing to pay premium price to own Liverpool and to run away with the English Premier League. They have paid plenty of dollars in the past to spend and win in Boston with the Red Sox. Why suddenly are they looking at price tags?
Right. I mean, they've had the highest payroll last year. They did not make the playoffs with the highest payroll in baseball. They've consistently been way up there. But I think that it's time. Their view is it's time for a reset. And there's a little bit of inability to cast blame on themselves. And some of the timeline it doesn't figure out is, you know, Henry told us in September, we've known for a year we had to reset. Well, if you knew for a year, why did you allow Dombrowski to sign Eovaldi and Sale for 68 and 200 million, respectively, 68 and 145, I guess. Why did you sign those contracts in the wake of knowing you had to reset in order to keep bets or in order to keep the thing going here? So they like to blame Dombrowski, but they also they did it themselves, and they got themselves into this. And I think they don't want to go where the bets thing is going. I understand that. He's liable to be – he could end up being Andrew McCutchen. You can make that case. He's mildly overrated. But you can't tell people he wasn't going to stay here anyway unless you play him next year and then you match – you compete for his services, you match any offer, and he's not going to stay here anyway. That's the only way to establish that that's true. And I just believe they didn't want to go where it's going.
Dan Shaughnessy joins us from the Boston Globe. The waiting game is on for Tom Brady's decision. As the days go by, do you get more and more sense that he's not coming back, or do you get more sense that he is coming back?
I waver every day, and I try not to think about it because I'm so tired of it. At this point, you know, I write columns there, and it's more interesting if he goes at this point. I mean, I've kind of come around to, hey, this has been great. I wish he had retired after they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I'd like to see the team try to win without him. I'd like to see Belichick try to win without him. I'd like to see him go to another place. As just a sports fan, I just want to see what will happen. And I think they can beat the Bozos in the AFC East with any quarterback. You know, I mean, it's not like they're going to get a challenge from the Dolphins or the Jets. So they can still compete, and their defense is a little old, as you know, and they are sort of built to win now. And I'm not sure a 43-year-old quarterback is a necessity to that. I'd love to see each side do without the other and see how it goes.
Let's say that they moved on and he signed somewhere else.
Who do you think would be the solution in Belichick's mind for 2020 at quarterback for the Patriots?
Well, he's thought of it and we haven't. So that's, you know, I mean, whether Stidham is his guy, whether he goes out and gets Teddy Bridgewater, Andy Dalton, I mean, you know, we've kicked around all the usual suspects. And that's, you know, Bill took pride in identifying Jimmy Garoppolo and having this. This is really nobody's fault. Bill fixed, you know, he had the succession plan and Tom outlived it. And that's good for Tom and it was good for the Patriots. More Super Bowls. But that's the charge for Bill to do that again now.
Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, our guest this morning on the show. Celtics in the East, this is interesting. I mean, the Bucks have had a historic run to this point in time, but the Celtics have shown stretches of being absolutely red hot. How much better are they this year without Kyrie and with Kemba?
Well, it's funny. They were, most of last year they were better without Kyrie when he was in and out of the lineup, but I guess we have to just sign on to that despite his enormous talent. It's a team that, you know, it's a little less talented. The ceiling's lower, but the production's probably going to be better. And I don't think they would be embarrassed in the playoffs again by Milwaukee if they played them again. There's a lot of duplication with the 6-7 wingmen. There's three of them that are all really good. And they don't have enough big people down low. We know that. But within the conference, I mean, Philadelphia is such a dumpster fire right now. I mean, they have better players. They don't have a better coach, and they don't have a better bench, and they don't have a better game plan, whatever you want to call it. So I think in the East, I know Miami's surge and Toronto's there, and I just like Milwaukee and Boston to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what I like.
Do you think, I want to know why you think that Brad Stevens has worked in the NBA in the wake of John Beilein resigning, yet another former college coach can't get it done at the NBA level. Why do you think that Brad Stevens has been the anomaly in that?
Well, I mean, some would say he hasn't. I mean, because, you know, they haven't gotten to the finals yet. They've gotten to the conference finals, and last year's team underachieved, and Brad will own that. I mean, obviously, he's very media friendly. He's very smart. It's hard not to think of Pete Buttigieg when you're talking to him. They're like the same guy. But he's, you know, his out of bounds plays are really fun. You know, when they have the timeout or whatever, right. It's fun to see what they come up with.
And yeah.
I just think that, you know, he's kind of on the spot now that, you know, there's expectations are higher. And I think if they don't get to the conference finals this year, there'll be some grumbling. But Ainge loves him. Fans love him. He's pretty much bulletproof here. I'd like to see him with a little bit more talent. But, we enjoy seeing him here. And, he's translated, in my view, very well. And there are nights, you know, when they're playing the Sixers, in my view, they have a huge edge on the bench.
Well, okay, so you sound like you kind of like him, but you sound like you're taking shots at him as well. So there's a part of you that doesn't believe that Brad Stevens is Wonder Boy.
Well, I just don't think to this point he's established himself as a great NBA coach. I mean, he hasn't won anything, and a lot of guys haven't. But players seem to want to play for him, and it seems like, you know, the Irving thing. That's just proof that when you have big star egos, like, no one can handle that. He certainly couldn't.
Dan Shaughnessy joins us this morning here on the show. You can read him at the Boston Globe. Check it out online at the Boston Globe's website. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Shaughnessy, Dan_Shaughnessy. Dan, it is always great to catch up. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thanks, D.A.
You got it. Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, our guest this morning here on the show. Interesting. We were just talking about how the big anomaly for college coaches failing in the NBA is Brad Stevens. And you know, Dan brings up a good point. Has Brad Stevens been a great success? He has not gotten to the NBA Finals yet. Has had some big expectations. Has not won a championship, obviously. Last year seemed underachieved. Not a bad point. Andrew Bogish is in with your headlines. Andrew, will Katie Bogish listen to any part of today's show when Mraz calls out you guys for going to a nerd fest like swapping bracelets in Cancun surrounded by a Dave Matthews Band concert?
Will she listen? No. Will I tell her about it later? Yes. Hmm. I probably won't play her the audio. I will just tell her that our trinkets took a couple of shots on the show this morning.
Yeah, look, it was a great plan. I think it was a great idea as a wife that Bogish loves Dave Matthews, and they were playing on a beach in Cancun, and she thought this is the best 40th birthday. I do think that's a nice gesture and gift. What I think is cheesy and such Loserville is when you arrive and you realize that this is the crowd you're associating yourself with.
When you arrive at
the concert and say, "Oh, it's a bunch of couples swapping
basically,
bracelets."
Basically, let's be honest, hippie-looking people wearing flip-flops, swapping bracelets and love stories. I mean, that's basically what you did in 4 days in Cancun with a couple frescas thrown in.
And I still don't see the negative in this. Why you're so offended by
it's just
people
like,
handing out cheap gifts?
Why can't you just go on vacation?
You can. You don't have to do it.
But basically what you're saying is you guys join this Facebook group, you would be ostracized. You'd be ostracized if you weren't handing out the bracelets and getting them ahead of time.
That's not true at all.
I mean, you're packing. It's like, oh, I got to remember the deodorant. Oh, remember the 50 bracelets we ordered to hand out to every couple from Topeka. I mean, come on.
There were plenty of people who didn't have things to trade back. No one ostracizes them. We just gave them a bracelet.
But also, I think that, you don't like people to fat shame. But you like to shame other people's life decisions, especially their vacation decisions. You have crucified all of our vacation decisions and other people's as well.
Look, do what you want with your vacation time. Go where you want. It's the beauty of America, right? We all have different interests and different needs. I just think sometimes people try to reinvent the wheel too much when it comes to a vacation, and actual, nice vacations get trashed on is so typical, when sometimes typical is great for a reason. Like, yeah, you want to hike the mountains of Peru and go pet alpacas and go to soccer games and hop around with your own personal tour guide? That's great. That's you. That finds your groove. But in most people's mind, is that better than, a week in the Bahamas? Probably not. Bogush wants to go to Cancun to see Dave Matthews Band. Fine. He actually combined the best of both worlds there. But again, just go to a beach vacation and play Dave Matthews on your Spotify and not have to worry about the trinkets handing out. Pipilotti wants to go to Montauk, go to North Carolina, go to the Hamptons. That's fine. How about you go when people are actually there? I mean, am I the only one who takes a nice, normal vacation anymore?
Well, why do you care what other people do when they enjoy their time?
That's the thing. I don't care, but I do feel the need to comment on such. It doesn't mean I care. It means I need to point out what the heck's going on with you guys.
Well, it sounds like you care if you're going to comment and criticize.
Also, you're making me lose my mind. And this is where people get the wrong idea between the two of us. We sat in an Uber next to each other and bringing up cruise ships in Miami, and you completely trashed my vacation idea of going on a cruise, saying, oh, who needs that? Who needs to have dinner with the same couple from Des Moines every week? So you, not publicly, but to my face, trashed my vacation ideas. But then when I trash others, you're so quick to paint the big pixie dust over everything and go, oh, Marez, why do you need to trash people's vacations? When you did that to me. So you're entitled to do it. But I'm not?
Well, I think it's interesting. I was trashing your idea of a vacation because it was total conventional, like just somebody script for me what my vacation's supposed to be because I just want somebody to hand it to me. And I'm saying,
oh, I mean, what do you want me to do, go spray pesticides all over Iowa? I mean, what? It's a vacation.
And
Mount Kilimanjaro.
And you're killing everybody else for doing something outside the box. So I think that's just our different perspectives. I would say that it's totally, if you wanted to be dull and boring, do what thousands of other people are doing. And
but
just,
that's not dull and boring. It's fun.
But you're calling what other people do dull and boring.
I don't think Bogus' vacation was boring. Boring. I don't think Bogus' vacation was boring. That's different. I think boring's wrong. I don't think hiking the mountains of Peru. What was it again you went to?
Machu Picchu,
which is also a Pokemon, apparently. I don't think that's boring.
I just think it's
so like, I need to show everybody I'm cooler than you on vacation. Instead of just going to the Cheesecake Factory in Atlantis.
So you think I flew 6 hours or 7 hours, whatever that was, each way. You think that I climbed one of the eight wonders, seven wonders of the world, what have you.
You're telling your own story here.
You think that I went to, an iconic place that is known across the world as representative of an civilization that's no longer with us. You think I did that to look cool.
Maybe not cool, but you definitely did it for the reasons you just rattled off the top of your tongue. You want to come back and say, look how cultured I am. I went to Peru. I climbed this mountain.
Maybe those things interest me. Maybe I have different interests than you.
I just said that a little while ago.
So maybe I didn't do it to be cool. Maybe I'm interested in those things.
But I think being more cultured than others is your interest. And I think you like rubbing a little nose in it.
I think
ostracized.
I do think that when you tried to shame me in interest, I do like to remind you that, you know, some of my interests actually are beneficial to like being growing as a person.
So
but this is not to be cool or to be better. It's because those things interest me.
But what interests me is having a 14-foot pork loin and sitting there with a Tommy Bahama shirt and having a bucket of Bud Light Limes on a cruise ship.
Which
is shame me on that.
Which is fine.
And that's culture, baby.
Which is fine if you didn't crap all over everybody else's interests. If they don't like a bucket of beer and a pork loin, you think they're idiots.
Because that's who I am. I make no sense. No,
maybe you shouldn't judge other people.
I try not to. I try my
damnedest. Well, you try not to.
No. You love doing it. You fight on Twitter judging people every single day. This whole reclining airplane situation, you judge everybody that doesn't agree with you.
Because that's common decency, and I stand for common decency.
You fight with everybody every day about everything.
It's in my blood, like the glucose. It's in my blood. I was born to debate.
This is what I'm talking about. You talk in circles, and so you never own up because you just keep running around the well. Like
put the glucose in my blood.
You judge everybody else every single day.
You know what? I'm a judgy person, and it stems from my childhood and knowing that I was always being judged. So now anything that I don't do...
Oh, now you're the victim?
No. Anything that I don't do stinks, right? Like, I had friends that went up to Lake George this weekend and went snowmobile and everything else. And you know what I told them? Your vacation sucks. It's cold. Why would you waste your time and go freeze and fall in snow? And they said, it's the greatest time. What's your problem? But I didn't do it. I don't want to do it. And therefore, it stinks. If I don't want to do it, it stinks. It must stink if I don't want to do it. And that is probably a default function of my frontal lobes in my brain, but they exist nonetheless. And I don't know what you want me to tell you. It's who I am. Sometimes it makes no sense, and sometimes it'll make me sound like an idiot, but sometimes I got to stick my heels in too deep and just keep punching my way out of it.
Well, don't you see the problem there?
I see a lot of problems.
Okay.
I think we just got another revelation. He just admitted to his frontal lobes being the problem. This is him, and this is who he is.
If he can't do it, he's going to tell you it stinks.
Right. I saw a guy get off the train the other day and break out his skateboard and start skateboarding to his car. Immediately I said, that guy sucks.
Because if you could do it, you'd love it.
Probably. I'd be freeloading all over the place. Look at me. I got my balance. But I know I can't get my ass on the skateboard, so he stinks.
Look at me. I got my balance.
It's not freeloading.
Does
either.
That make sense?
It's freewheeling or freestyling.
I'm well aware. I understand.
No, you're not well aware. You're not.
I am.
Now maybe we've come to get you a little awareness here, but you're not.
You want me to go hike the Andes? I'll go hike them just to show you I can be cultured too. But sometimes it's better just to sit in the sand and relax.
You did offer at one point that the better option would be to go to a cheesecake factory in the Bahamas?
Right, in Atlantis. Because again, people go, it's too American. You can't do that. But you know what's fun? You know what else is fun? You go down to Tampa and you have some shrimp. I mean, sometimes it's a good trip.
Andrew Bogish has our headlines.
Oh, this will be quick.
By the way, Andrew, Hemsky in Tucson tweets, I have a feeling that Pete the Body loves Katie Bogish and how far in advance she books vacations.
Pete has known for a very long time that I was going to be off this past week, yes. It has been a failure by all accounts in Cleveland. His Cavaliers have the worst record in the East, and John Beilein had to apologize last month for accidentally calling his players thugs during a team meeting. The coach and the team are divorcing, with the paperwork expected to be completed later today. Beilein will get some of the money due the rest of this season, but that sounds like the end. He's only 54 games into a 5-year contract worth $4 million annually. Assistant J.B. Bickerstaff expected to be promoted to full-time head coach. The win streak is 23 now for top-ranked Baylor, 65-54 winners at Oklahoma. That is now the longest win streak ever by a Big 12 team. The Bears were sharing the mark with the 96-97 Jayhawks. Drew Brees is back, as most of us were expecting. Brees and the Saints need a new contract for 2020. Former Panthers tight end Greg Olsen reportedly signing a 1-year, $7 million deal with the Seahawks after flirting with Washington, Buffalo, and the TV booth. And then there's Jason Witten, who was Greg Olsen before Greg Olsen was Greg Olsen. Witten wants to play one more season before maybe trying TV again. Witten would prefer next season be with the Cowboys, but knows He has to be open-minded about playing elsewhere. In non-Astros news from spring training, the Red Sox signing veteran catcher Jonathan Lucroy to a minor league deal, and the Nationals considering hitting shortstop Trey Turner third this season. And yesterday's update from Roush Fenway Racing said Ryan Newman was awake, talking with family and his doctors the day after his near-fatal crash at Daytona. We still don't know, though, what injuries Newman specifically suffered. DA?
Thank you, Andrew. William tweets, wow, Mraz, this guy, ripping vacations all the while on his vacation. He tweeted excessively about a reclining seat and posted a picture of an entire McDonald's menu on his coffee table while watching the XFL.
Again, that wasn't vacation. I was watching my child. It was paternity leave.
When we come back, advanced analytics and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Our poll question today, will you listen to the Best of the DA Show podcast now that Mraz has actually done some work and created it? On Twitter, the answer is no. 56% of you say you will not listen to it. 43% said yes. However, a little bit more support of the project on Facebook. 58% on Facebook said yes. In Apple's annual Worldwide Developer Conference 2 years ago, the company said there were over 555,000 podcasts, 500,000 podcasts. 32% of Americans report having listened to a podcast within the last month. We ask you to listen to ours if you want. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning. Mraz taking accountability.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And now, guys, it is time to be...
Wait, I think that's next
no?
hour. Is it next hour? I think we had Stunned to a News next hour.
Sean said when I walked in at 7, it said the next one. So I thought that meant the next one.
Wow. Pathetic miss by Mraz.
This is on me. I have written it down wrong on my sheet.
Oh, God. So we'll do Stunned to a News an hour from now.
Passion is passion.
Premature Stunned to a News ejaculation.
I'm more stunned that he accepted blame for this immediately.
Well, you me. This is there's no excuse. This is you came in and asked me something, and now that I see, I read what I wrote down wrong. I have screwed up the second.
But I don't want to give him credit for screwing up because he admits he screwed up.
There's no credit here. I screwed up.
Okay.
And that's it. There's no, hey, thank you for apologizing. I screwed this up right now. I am so sorry.
Yes. I was disgustingly off.
See,
this is what I'm not prepared
for. I feel so bad.
I feel so bad.
How long was I gone for?
A lot happened.
A
lot happened, Andrew.
No, this is this can't happen again.
I would make that a better epic fail. I think it could have been a little better.
Whoa. Whoa.
I mean, I was gone. I thought for 5 days.
Wow.
This is the CBS News Special Report.
I have faced a lot of criticism. For me to flop like that and give bogus wrong information is unacceptable today. Unacceptable. Where does the salt go?
It covers the times on your rundown, apparently.
Okay, well, I guess that's a win, actually. In some ways, that's a win.
No, it's a loss, because now the segment's been thrown off, and I caused that.
You're right.
Again.
This is amazing. I love this new Mraz. Forget it. We're a machine now. If we have a focused, accountable Mraz, there is no weakness on this show.
I mean, I am stunned to this news.
This is the most stunning news you could have had.
I don't even know what to say.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
And our Ask the Pros question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Drenzito tweets, sorry, guys. Have to board my plane to Tampa for Shrimp Fest 2020. I'll catch up with today's podcast later. That's fun, too. Get on a plane to Tampa. Go to Shrimp Fest. Eat a bunch of shrimp. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Sammy Rubes. Sam Rubinoff on the Wheels of Steel. And director of all things audio today. And this week, thanks to Andrew Kaplan and the Wizard of WatchDA.com and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnect.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.